The release from prison of Chinese dissident Xu Wenli, who was flown to the United States with his wife, has drawn mixed reviews from some human rights activists. John Kam of the San Francisco-based Dui Hua Foundation said the decision was made at the highest political level in China, and it was aimed at improving relations with Washington. Brad Adams of Human Rights Watch hailed Wu's release, but he called for a general amnesty for political prisoners in China. The release of Wu drew our attention to a column in Newsweek about China and about how developments there represent dramatic and positive changes that were eclipsed, perhaps, by our concerns about world terrorism. The column is by Fareed Zakaria, who joins us. Fareed Zakaria, you would say what's happened in China could be seen as the story of the year, were it not for other things.
That's right, Robert. I think if you look at this year, it marks the culmination of China's development strategy, by which I mean an intense focus on economic development above all else. China has become pretty much the most important manufacturing nation in the world. It has had a leadership transition that has consolidated the movement toward essentially a market economy. The dissident movement has petered out, to be honest, and you have extraordinary vitality and growth in almost all sectors, very dramatic rises in living standards. So in many ways, China has been the success story of the year that has been drowned out by the war on terror.
You cite the head of Sony as really providing a sign of the times in terms of how important China is in Asia.
Idei, the head of Sony, says that in 2 years, Sony, Japan's flagship corporation, will be manufacturing more goods in China than in Japan. And this is not an isolated example. China is essentially becoming the low-cost manufacturer of goods all over the world.
Time-wise, people argued that economic development begets political development, and that after an economy becomes more complex, in no time there's a middle class demanding bourgeois rights. Is this going to happen in China over the coming decade?
That's the $64,000 question. In China so far, they have managed this amazing balancing act, economic liberalization with very little political liberalization. But I see some very encouraging trends. There is legal liberalization. That is, there is movement toward a rule of law. There is even some small experimentation with democracy at a local level. I would only caution that we remember China is still a very poor country. So even if that general transition holds true, it doesn't mean it'll happen in the next 10 years. But it'll probably happen, I would guess, in the next 20 to 25.
Let me put a less sanguine view to you and hear you respond. Some would say, here's a country that used to be run by an authoritarian communist party. Now it's still run by an authoritarian party. It's just abandoned being a communist. And second, it does still have people in prison. And they may not be political dissidents. They may be adherents of Falun Gong, for example. But it is simply not a society whose political agenda we, that is the West, should be embracing.
China is not a politically free society. You're absolutely right. But I think that while it is important for human rights groups and the U.S. government to bring up issues of human rights, I think you can sometimes miss the broader story here, which is the extraordinary transformation of a poor, backward peasant country toward almost middle-income status. And I think you can sometimes forget that that is also a constituent of, you know, human rights broadly conceived. I think looking at the record of third world countries around the world in developing, you have to conclude, as Jeffrey Sachs does, the great economist, that China is probably the most successful development story in human history.
Fareed Zakaria, columnist for Newsweek and editor of Newsweek International, thank you very much for talking with us.
Happy holidays, Robert.